Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk. You can find out more about the publishings, writings, workshops, podcasts, radio stuff at allbook-books.com. So this is a tribute to one of my heroes, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who I just heard crossed over to the spirit world at 101 years old. So I'm feeling sad and doing this raw rather than sitting around thinking about it and planning too much. Here's a quote from his memoir, Little Boy, that was published around his 100th birthday. Am I the consciousness of a generation, or just some old fool sounding off and trying to escape the dominant, materialist, avaricious consciousness of America? The article goes on to say, Ferlinghetti defied history, the internet superstore chains, and high rent shut down numerous booksellers in the Bay Area and beyond, but City Lights remained a thriving political and cultural outlet where one section was devoted to books, enabling, quote, revolutionary competence, unquote, where employees could get the day off to attend an anti-war protest. Ferlinghetti told Interview magazine in 2013, generally people seem to get more conservative as they age, but in my case, I seem to have gotten more radical. Poetry must be capable of answering the challenge of apocalyptic times, even if this means sounding apocalyptic. He had one of the most best-selling poetry books ever, Coney Island of the Mind, sold hundreds of thousands of copies in the U.S. alone. Long an outsider from the poetry community, Ferlinghetti once joked that he had, quote, committed the sin of too much clarity. Coney Island of the Mind was published 1958. I got a stack of books by him. One of the best poetry books I have ever read. How to Paint Sunlight. Beautiful book with the theme of light. He also did a poetic history in two parts, Americus 1. Also Time of Useful Consciousness. That's Americus Book 2. One of his greatest contributions to the future, to the now and future of poetry, is a little book, pocket-sized book called Poetry as Insurgent Art. And I'll read the beginning of Poetry as Insurgent Art. This was published in 75. Some of the essays and stuff were from 75, but it was published in 2004, 2007. I am signaling you through the flames. The North Pole is not where it used to be. Manifest destiny is no longer manifest. Civilization self-destructs. Nemesis is knocking at the door. What are poets for in such an age? What is the use of poetry? The state of the world calls out for poetry to save it. If you would be a poet, create works capable of answering the challenge of apocalyptic times, even if this means sounding apocalyptic. It's a great book. So many little... It's got one-liner after one-liner, what poetry is, what poetry isn't. He was one of the few commented to say that most modern poetry is really chopped-up prose. And I've seen that over and over and over again so much that I actually have a dislike of much modern poetry because it's chopped-up prose, lacking song, lacking rhythm and melody. So anyway, he's one of my favorite poets ever, and I want to read one poem that I'll try to mimic how I heard him read it once. And there's a couple of movies about him too. I think Ferlinghetti documentary and A Coney Island in the Mind, which is virtually impossible to find. I had communicated once with the director, producer of the film, and he was like not one to buy into the system and even sell it through regular Amazon channels. Anyway, this is one that I heard Ferlinghetti read it, and I'll try to do an impression of how I heard it, because he was born in the Bronx, and so he moved to San Francisco, lived there for a long, long time, but he did it with this kind of New York Bronx accent. And when I think of the Bronx, I think of in my teens, I used to go to, they had a racetrack with the horses, the jockeys that had like little wheels, and I forget what that's called. Anyway, this is his poem called Sometime During Eternity. Sometime during eternity, some guys show up, and one of them, who shows up real late, is a kind of carpenter from some square-type place like Galilee. And he starts wailing and claiming he is hip to who made heaven and earth, and that the cat who really laid it on us is his dad. And moreover, he adds, it's all writ down on some scroll-type parchments which some henchmen leave lying around the Dead Sea somewheres a long time ago, and which you won't even find for a couple of thousand years or so, or at least for 1,947 of them to be exact. And even then, nobody really believes them, or me for that matter. You're hot, they tell him, and they cool him. They stretch him on the tree to cool. And everybody after that is always making models of this tree, with him hung up and always crooning his name and calling him to come down and sit in on their combo, as if he is the king cat who's got to blow, or they can't quite make it, only he don't come down from his tree. Him just hang there on his tree, looking real petered out and real cool. And also, according to a roundup of late world news from the usual unreliable sources, real dead. That, if you didn't catch the meaning, that's about the crucifixion of Christ, of Jesus. So Ferlinghetti was fearless in saying what he felt. I'll read the City Lights bookstore, which he started, that is still going strong. City Lights Booksellers and Publishers. I'll read what they have to say about him. We are sad to announce that Lauren Ferlinghetti, distinguished American poet, artist, and founder of City Lights Booksellers and Publishers, has died in San Francisco, California. He was 101 years old. Ferlinghetti was instrumental in democratizing American literature by creating with Peter D. Martin the country's first all-paperback bookstore in 1953, jump-starting a movement to make diverse and inexpensive quality books widely available. He envisioned the bookstore as a literary meeting place where writers and readers could congregate to share ideas about poetry, fiction, politics, and the arts. 2 years later, in 1955, he launched City Lights Publishers with the objective of stirring an international dissident ferment. His inaugural edition was the first volume of the City Lights Pocket Poet series, which proved to be a seminal force in shaping American poetry. Ferlinghetti is the author of one of the best-selling poetry books of all time, A Coney Island of the Mind, among many others. He continued to write and publish new work up until he was 100 years old, and his work has earned him a place in the American canon. For over 60 years, those of us who have worked with him at City Lights have been inspired by his knowledge and love of literature, his courage in defense of the right to freedom of expression, and his vital role as an American cultural ambassador. By the way, he received some award not long ago. I forget what country it was from, but he turned down the award because of the money. He didn't agree with something to do with the money or who the awardees had, some organization they had funded or something like that. His curiosity was unbounded and his enthusiasm was infectious, and we will miss him greatly. We intend to build on Ferlinghetti's vision and honor his memory by sustaining City Lights into the future as a center for open intellectual inquiry and commitment to literary culture and progressive politics. Though we mourn his passing, we celebrate his many contributions and give thanks for all the years we were able to work by his side. Also, we'll note that I've quoted this over and over in my writings, that Ferlinghetti served in World War II. I think he's still in the Navy, I think, and he still was like a sailor type, you know, out on a boat. But he he went to Dresden in World War II, and when he saw the bombed out villages, he even describes it in horrible detail, like hair fused to objects, but the thing about that incident was he became an instant pacifist. It changed his life, and it changed his writing and his culture, similarly to Howard Zinn, who was a bombardier in World War II. And he was bombing people until he met the people on the ground in Europe, and he realized, like, holy shit, this is killing people. And instead, we have these great people that became pacifists and dissidents and whatever you call them. But you fast forward to the drone bombing that the Nobel Peace Prize winner, President Obama, no pun intended, Obama, was one of the proponents of drone bombing. Which I'm just reading about a book about that whole drone bomb stuff, and maybe I'll do a review on that. But the point of that was it turned Ferlinghetti around and made him who he is in a way. His work was strongly critiquing the military-industrial complex, the media complex, the corporations, and all that stuff. His publishing certainly. As a proponent of worldwide movements and, you know, political prisoners and indigenous writings and such likes. And also in Coney Island in the Mind, it was one of the first books, I think, that the lines on the page were all over the place. Like, just all over the place. It was a whole new style of free form. And also in one of the documentaries I saw, he was, again, I found an affinity with him. With a sometimes lonely, often lonely job of writing and publishing, Ferlinghetti, in the documentary, what struck me was how he stayed himself. He went from writing to publishing. They showed him riding his bike through town to traveling to an art gallery. He also had an amazing amount of artwork. There was an art exhibit of his in New York City having to do with the coronavirus. Just the past summer. So what struck me with the documentary was how he went from role to role, but he just stayed himself. He stayed centered. And in one interview, I saw someone asked him if he meditated, and he said, basically he answered that he was always meditating. But he said that lap swimming was sort of his official form of meditation. But the role model for me personally, just had to go from one hat to another, that he did, and I'm sure millions of people around the world a role model in many different ways, and many people grew up with his poetry. So I guess I could go on and on, but I'm trying to find some simple poems here to convey both the whimsy and the depth. Here's one from the How to Paint Sunlight, again one of my favorite books of poetry ever. This is called The Light of Birds. I early learned to love birds, the light of birds, the kingdom of birds in the high treetops stricken with light, living their separate, weightless lives. Light years they lived, apart from us, flashing in sunlight high above Bronx River Parkway, or high on Hudson's Palisades they flew about, light as leaves. As they were as leaves, except in the fall, when they did not fall, calling to each other over and over in the upper air, or lost in the sky, as they soared up there, way up beyond the reservoir, where we came as kids chattering like birds on a Sunday at sundown, and played in the falling light, and heard for the first time the distant, muffled cause of our own night. A beautiful poem, and there's an example of where he would do a pun type thing that I sometimes think, oh, I should edit that out, and I think, no, that's how the muse put it, and I'll think of him and say, no, if Lawrence Ferlinghetti could do a pun like that, I'm going to do that too. He said, light as leaves, and they were as leaves, except in the fall, when they did not fall. So again, he's just a role model for doing what the muse guides you to do and letting it all hang out. I'll read a Again, a long poem. It's just the long freestyling flow of the beat generation, but he did not consider himself a beat poet. This is called Introductions to Painters and Poets. I asked 100 painters and 100 poets how to paint sunlight on the face of life. Their answers were ambiguous and ingenuous, as if they were all guarding trade secrets. Whereas it seems to me all you have to do is conceive of the whole world and all humanity as a kind of artwork, a site-specific artwork, an art project of the God of light, and the whole earth and all that's in it to be painted with light. And the first thing you have to do is paint out postmodern painting, and the next thing is to paint yourself in true colors, in primary colors, as you see them, without whitewash. Paint yourself as you see yourself, without makeup, without masks. Then paint your favorite people and animals, and with your brush loaded with light, and be sure you get the perspective right. And don't fake it, because one false line leads to another. And then paint the high hills. When the sun first strikes them on an autumn morning, with your palette knife, lay it on the cadmium yellow leaves, the ochre leaves, the vermilion leaves of a New England autumn, and paint the ghost light of summer nights and the light of the midnight sun, which is moonlight. And don't paint out the shadows made by light, for without chiaroscuro, you'll have shallow pictures. So paint all the dark corners, too, everywhere in the world, all the hidden places and minds and hearts which light never reaches, all the caves of ignorance and fear and pits of despair and the sloughs of despond, and write plain upon them, abandon all despair, ye who enter here. And don't forget to paint all those who live their lives as bearers of light. Paint their eyes and the eyes of every animal and the eyes of beautiful women known best for the perfection of their breasts and the eyes of men and women known only for the light of their minds. Paint the light of their eyes, the light of sunlight, laughter, the song of eyes, the song of birds in flight. And remember that the light is within, if it is anywhere, and you must paint from the inside. Start with purity, with pure white, the pure white of gesso, the pure white of cadmium white, the pure white of flake white, the pure virgin canvas, the pure life we all begin with. Turner painted sunlight with egg tempera, which proved unstable, and Van Gogh did it with madness and the blood of his ear, also unstable, and the Impressionists did it by never using black. And the abstract expressionists did it with White House paint, but you can do it with the pure pigment if you can figure out the formula of your own true light. But before you strike the first blow on the virgin canvas, remember its fragility, life's extreme fragility, and remember its innocence, its original innocence, before you strike the first blow, or perhaps never strike it. And let the light come through, the inner light of the canvas, the inner light of the models posed in the life study, the inner light of everyone. Let it all come through like a pentimento, the light that's been painted over, the life that's been painted over so many times. Let it all surge to the surface, the painted over image of primal life on earth. And when you've finished your painting, stand back astonished. Stand back and observe the life on earth that you've created, the lighted life on earth that you've created, a brave new world. That's the whole poem. I had to read the whole poem. Don't fake it. Write with honesty, paint with honesty, live with honesty. Write your truth, paint your truth, live your truth. And here's my poem for Ferlinghetti. Got a few lines from his poems, like he would do with other people's poems. And one note, the word soul is spelled S-O-L. This is called Ferlinghetti. Lawrence is unfurling. Giddy up, giddy up. Ferlinghetti up. Ferlinghetti up, up and away with his beautiful balloon soul. Unfurling from his physical body, painting sunlight as he rides his horse into the sunset
up, up and away, his Coney Island mind now seen from a distance. He constantly risked absurdity to show us the absurdities, the avarices of mine versus yours, perpetuated in the fine print of the
disunited status of Avarissica,
showing us the voices of the common folk gathering in small groups to banter the lyrics of the day and night, navigating by starlights, his poems and paintings landing on their cool cat with nine lives' feet, his soul up, up and away in a beautiful air balloon.
Blessings to Lawrence Ferlinghetti as he journeys on. May all the poets and artists and all the dissidents and all the beings carry on. Carry that light that he showed. Carry that onward. Thank you for listening. Be well and have a good one.